The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have the servants recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. Should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord. Sometimes Jesus' message seems to be quite cryptic to us. It can be kind of cryptic because he's using parables or figures of speech that we're not familiar with or don't have as much cultural context for us as it would have had at the time. Or sometimes it's because he seems to mix and match metaphors in ways that don't immediately make sense. I think today is one of those great examples because he talks about the master coming home and knocking and us being ready to open the door. And we've heard him say similar things like that before, so it just sounds like Jesus wants his disciples to be ready. But in this particular case, there's a couple details that are kind of strange. One is that the master is coming back to his house, and he knocks at the door. Now, maybe it's because I don't have servants at my house, but I don't know about you guys. I don't knock when I get to my front door. I put in the key, and I unlock it, and I walk in. It seems odd that the master would come to his own house knowing that his servants are supposed to be ready for him, and he, for some reason, knocks. He's not going to somebody else's house. He's not going to a party that's waiting for him. He's going back home. Why would he need to knock? And then at the end, he kind of switches the metaphor. He talks about a master, but not in a way that's coming back home, but in a way that he would protect his things if he knows that a thief is coming, as if there's an intruder. It's a much different kind of waiting. It's a kind of anticipation, but the master wants to be ready and protected from any harm that might come. Why does Jesus seem to mix and match these in today's gospel? I think it's actually because he wants us, yes, to be ready to react, but more importantly, he wants us to be ready to respond, ready to receive his presence. That's why the master would knock at the door. He doesn't want to just barge in and surprise them. He also wants them to be ready to receive his presence. Not just to have the dishes ready and the lights on and the things cleaned up, but actually be ready to receive the master because he's going to come and to serve them. Someone who the master always has to be ready to protect his things from an intruder. Not ready and anxious, but just ready to protect what is truly his. Because for Jesus, in this analogy, in this image of the master, he is the master. He is the one that's come to receive his servants and hopes to find them ready. But also he's the one that comes and takes us back from the thief. Because from God's perspective, we were his. All of humanity was God's. We were put on this earth to be his representative, to steward all of creation. But because of sin going back to Adam and Eve all the way through the present day, the devil has stolen us away from God. That we who were once his possession have now been taken and put into a different kingdom. Frankly, Jesus wants his stuff back. Jesus is going to come and claim us back for himself, ultimately in his death and resurrection, but also just to free us from that slavery of sin, to free us from those chains of the evil one. And so he wants his followers to be ready for that, to be ready for that moment, not because he needs them to go and to do anything, because he wants them to receive that freedom. to be taken out of the kingdom and slavery of sin into the kingdom of freedom of God's people. That's why he uses this kind of strange expression at the beginning of the gospel when he says, gird your loins. Now that sounds very strange to us because we don't do that. But at the time, it would have been a somewhat familiar expression. They would have long flowing robes, not unlike this. And they would leave them like that because it was cooler, except when they had to go do work or had to run a great distance. And then they would basically put a rope around their waist like a belt, hike up their robe so that it was easier to move, and gird their loins so they could move about. But the times that this was used in the Old Testament were not very often. It's not as if they said, every day you should gird your loins. It was something they did to get ready for work in the morning. There's only a few places that it's mentioned in the Old Testament, especially in reference to the Passover night. Passover night that they talked about in the first reading from the Book of Wisdom. When the people of Israel knew God was going to do something, they didn't exactly know what he was going to do. They knew that they were being marked by the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. They were going to eat and consume the Lamb of God. But they were told to eat this meal with their loins girt, to gird their loins before they sit down for a meal, because something was going to happen and they needed to be ready. Ready ultimately to gather all their belongings and to head out of Egypt, to go from the place of slavery into the place of freedom. So when Jesus references this, everybody's thinking about the Exodus. They're thinking about the night of Passover and Jesus saying, I'm going to do something similar. Not just because I'm more powerful than the forces of evil, but because I want my stuff back. And humanity is God's stuff. He wants to bring it back from the evil one, from the slavery to sin that we find ourselves in. What I think we often miss about the Exodus is that it wasn't just a kind of bad coincidence for the people of Israel. It wasn't just that Egypt was more powerful than them, and so Pharaoh was kind of a mean guy, and so he took them into slavery, and we need to get back at that evil guy. Follow the story of the Exodus, it's kind of the Israelites' fault that they end up in slavery. Because God continues to tell them not to trust in foreign powers and outside military forces, that he'll provide for him, that he'll protect them. They keep over and over again making these alliances to protect from stronger militaries. And because of all these alliances that they start to make, eventually, basically the Egyptians make them pay up on those alliances. Right? They say, if we're going to keep protecting you, we're going to need something back from it. And so they bring them into slavery to do work for them. So it's not just that this slavery happened to the Israelites. In some ways, it's a self-inflicted wound. In some ways, very much like the original sin. Because they could not trust God to protect them and provide for them, they've been led into the situation of literal slavery, where they're no longer free to be the children of God, but they're under this yoke of someone else. That is the moment that God acts in the moment of the Passover, that he wants to come and set the Israelites free from their own bondage, from the thing that they've gotten into themselves, so that they can go and live in his freedom, providing the promised land and everything that they will need. But for Jesus, more than just understanding the Old Testament, he wants his disciples to know that he's going to do something similar. And not just physical slavery is what he wants to free us from, but to actually free us from that spiritual slavery and attachment to sin. To actually be able to live generously, whether we have a lot or we have a little. Be able to live like he imagined originally in the Garden of Eden, always trusting in his providence and living in that freedom. That we too can get ourselves out of those knots and out of that bondage that we've put ourselves into with his grace and his help. It's one of the things I love about the stewardship way of life, that oftentimes stewardship is the way that Jesus kind of starts to knock on those areas of our life that have a little bit of bondage, maybe that aren't totally removed from God. Sometimes he kind of knocks on our time and our schedule and he says, you know, you could spend a little more time in prayer. But all the things you're doing aren't necessarily bad, but I invite you to be more generous with that time with me. Sometimes he seems to knock on our talents, on using our gifts and our abilities to help others and to promote the good of the church. Other times he seems to knock and tug on our wallets. He seems to knock at the door of treasure. To say again, not that we're not doing well, but that we can trust him even more and become more free with our money. The stewardship always assumes that we can go deeper into that freedom. That we're never kind of in a place that's perfect yet, but that God will kind of guide us and lead us to a greater place of freedom. Never forcing us to do it, but slowly inviting us to trust him even more. Brothers and sisters, I think that's the freedom that Jesus wants us to have today. He wants to show us that it's not just our own abilities that will lead us to that freedom, but that being vigilant and ready to receive him. Allow him to work deeper and more fully in our lives. And notice that when he knocks, he's going to lead us to freedom. He doesn't want to come and take things away from us like a thief. But instead, he wants to free us from that bondage of sin, leading us to the freedom of the children of God. So brothers and sisters, let us pray that we can spend this week with our loins girt and with our lamps lit, that we'll be ready to respond whenever the Master comes and knocks. Not afraid that he's coming to take things away from us. Not afraid that he's going to change us or make us into something that we don't want to be. But aware that, like in the moment of the Exodus, like the Israelites on the night of Passover, he wants to come and free us from our slavery. He wants to take us back from the grips of the evil one. Our job is just to trust him. To trust him and to respond whenever he knocks. Because in that way, we will start to live in freedom in this life. Free from the attachments of the things of the world. Free from any attachment to sin and evil. Free ultimately to live here on earth like the life of heaven. Free to live in a way that is always in relationship with God, our Father.